Now, I'm going to turn the service over to him. I told him to preach to us. I know he's got his guitar here and everything. And we don't have any buzzers this time. When you're done, you're done. I just use this. I'm not bringing somebody in from halfway around the world and cut them off before they're done. Is anybody with me on that? Might be 13 years till he gets back. And so he's got to give us everything he's got this time, brother. Come on, please.
Just sing a little song here before reading the message.
Today you walk another mile down the pathway that's leading you home. And you met many travelers along the way, both strangers and friends that you've known. And after you stopped to talk for a while to those you met on the way, my friend, did you mention the name of the Lord to someone you talk with today? Did you tell someone about Jesus? Did you mention his name to a friend? Did you warn the stranger who's lost and undone that that is the wages of sin? Did you show them the plan of salvation? Did you tell them who's he's coming again? Did you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Did you tell someone about him? Some traveler you shall meet today may walk down this pathway no more. For this could be the final mile before his journey's o'er. How great it would be to meet him again in heaven some glad day. My friend, you'll be sure to meet him up there if you lead him to Jesus today. Did you tell someone about Jesus? Did you mention his name to a friend? Did you warn the stranger who's lost and undone that death is the wages of sin? Did you show them the plan of salvation? Did you tell them he's coming again? Did you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Did you tell someone about him?
Our message today is geared toward mission. When you want to learn about the heroes of faith, the Old Testament heroes of faith, you'd like to go to Hebrews11.com and browse through there and see their lives and learn from them why they become heroes or why they are considered heroes of faith. Looking at Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, verses 33 to 38.
There might be a microphone problem here. Here we go. There we go.
Oh, it fell down.
You played too hard on that fiddle, on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. looking at it. Mm-hmm. There we go. Are we doing better now?
All right. Can you hear me? So, looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33-38. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. But as we read these verses and start even beginning at the first of the chapter, we see that these people truly gave their lives to the Lord and lived for Him. We have some students at our school ask, you know, how are the Old Testament people saved? How can we call them Christians? And the answer is that they're saved the same way we are. They're saved by faith. As we read about Abraham, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him or counted to him for righteousness. So we are all saved by faith. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, or 11, verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That means that he exists, that he's real, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As I was taken to the Creation Museum by friends, I went there three times. I felt like I was a tourist after that. But I really enjoyed seeing those things and how they make the Bible come alive. But I've heard of instances where people who went there, agnostics, and they come out, they believe the Bible. Praise God for that. We enjoy the magnificent hall of faith of the great heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, but far greater than that, John's gospel gives us a tour of the hall of the portraits of the characters or attributes of Jesus Christ. Not only in John, but we see it in the other gospels. But this morning, we look at John, and John of the four gospels presented Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The Son of God. In chapter 1, he is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Jesus Christ came to this earth, as is pointed out in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, and we beheld his glory. John was an eyewitness. He said, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see Jesus Christ as God in the flesh. One of his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And we know that his glory is always manifested whenever he performed miracles. The glory of Christ. In fact, when Jesus appeared to, or Jesus manifested his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration with the three apostles, they saw that his glory was shining forth bright, even brighter than the sun. And who was with him? Elijah and Moses. But people who said that what happened after death, there's nothing. You know, we just exterminated or annihilated. But there we see two Old Testament saints standing with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration in all his glory. And then we go to chapter 2. It tells us about the first miracle. And there we know that Jesus Christ is the great miracle worker. His first miracle was turning the water into wine. And by the way, that's not intoxicating wine. That is fresh or fruit of the vine. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. God condemns strong drink or intoxicating wine. Whether it's beer, liquor, or any kind of alcohol. Someone told me last week that the same people who puts out statistics on highway fatalities are the same people who gives business license to wine and liquor vendors. In chapter 3, we see that Jesus is the only begotten Son, the one and only begotten of the Father. In chapter 4, he is the living water that satisfied forever. And we're going to come back to that a little bit. In John chapter 5, Jesus is the healer, the great physician. You know, we have people who say that God called us to heal. And I tell those people, you know, we have many of them in Pohnpei. I said, why don't you go and heal everybody in the hospital so we don't have to have hospitals? Well, they don't have an answer for that. Jesus called us to preach the gospel. Am I saying that Jesus cannot, or we cannot heal in the name of Christ? If God so will, he's still the great healer. He can still heal the sick. In chapter 6, he's the bread of life. And we have a lot of people today who are starving. I have an uncle and an auntie who are attending another church, and both of them professed salvation one time. They said they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, yet they will not come out of that church. And I know it's in the island, the people are very it's like a matter of life and death to retain their prestige and their position in the church and in the family, even though they know that where they're going, they're not receiving the word of God. So every time I have a chance to take them to a revival or one of our revivals, they would come out and saying, man, tired of eating rotten food. That was good food. That was fresh manna. Praise God for his word. It is, the Bible says, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So in chapter 6, he's the bread of life that come down to this earth. In chapter 7, he's the seed of David, who one day will sit on the throne of David, judging, ruling with a rod of iron. In chapter 8, he's the only truth that can set you free from sin, hell, and the devil's power. And we have some people who said that I'm saved. I got, you know, they look at salvation as a ticket to heaven and escape from hell. But that's all there is to it. But my friend, it's more than that. Salvation is a new life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, any woman, any boy, any girl, be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're a Christian, your life would be, there would be a change in your life. I have a brother who's, every time he comes home, he's a dentist. He would be drunk because they have this group of people who get together and play pool, and they're all working at the hospital, and he was one of them. And the guy who has his store, every time payday comes around, or he would have them come to his store and he would write how much they drink and how much, you know, writing in a book. So whenever it's time to collect the checks, he would get their paychecks. And my brother, who has two children at the time,
He was a drunkard, and every weekend we'll have people drug him out of the ditch, or, you know, he'd be sleeping. One time he was sleeping in the brook, or, you know, a little stream, and when they took him out, half of his body was tan. You don't know that Micronesian get tan too? Yeah, they do. And half of his body is kind of lighter, you know, and they, all day long, they teach him about that. But you know what? God saved him out of alcoholism. Amen. He's now one of my preachers. That's my third brother. I'm the oldest brother, and then I have another one in the army. And the third one, the third one is a dentist, and the fourth one is a nurse in a hospital. So God's word tells us, if you're in Christ, and the secret there is in Christ, either you're in Christ or you're outside of Christ. One of the greatest illustration of that is Noah's Ark. What happened to those people outside the ark? They were destroyed. They perished. But only those who are in the ark were saved. And you know what? Many people look to churches and they count the numbers. But Noah preached 120 years and only his family were saved. I'm not saying that numbers are not important, but I'm saying that no matter where God put you, be faithful. You may not see fruit immediately, but continue to serve the Lord, and eventually God will bring the result. And so we move on to chapter 8. He's the only truth that can set you free. And if the Son therefore set you free, you shall be free indeed. John chapter 8 tells us. In chapter 9, he's the light of the world that can deliver man from darkness. And the Bible says they will not quit their evil deeds because their deeds are done in darkness. And men love darkness rather than light, especially lost men. So if you're a Christian, we always advise our young people, if you're a Christian, you want to do everything in the light. Even dating, you want to date where people can see you. Because when you hide and do something, you're trying to do things that are not right with God. But always remember that God's eyes are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. In chapter 10, he's the good shepherd that laid down his life for sheep. Even in the days of Christ, people say, well, the Romans killed him and the Jewish helped them and all that. And Jesus said, nobody killed me. He said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to raise it again. So Jesus Christ has all power, but he's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd, and also he's the great shepherd, but one day he's coming back as the chief shepherd. Is he your shepherd? David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why are people going after the things of this world and have more than 3 cars and have more than, I know this couple in North Carolina, they have 3 or 4 houses. Why are Christians accumulating wealth in this world? The Bible says that all these things will perish, but we should lay up treasures in heaven. How do we lay up treasures in heaven? By serving God, by seeking first his kingdom and righteousness. And by the way, I'll stop in chapter 10, and I want you to give you an assignment, a homework, to do chapter 11 all the way to 21 and find out what's the most prominent characters of Christ. That's a good study. But not all of these tell us about the characters of Christ, and they're great characteristics that we could look at and study and learn from. But the greatest, I believe, the greatest characteristic of Christ that is prevalent throughout the book of John and even the gospel at that, the other gospels, that one portrait of Christ is that he is a great soul winner. He's the great soul winner. You see Jesus Christ when in Matthew chapter 9, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they were like lost sheep without a shepherd. And then when Jesus Christ see this Matthew, the tax collector, he sees a man that needs salvation. And then he walk over to him. And Jesus told him to follow. Come after me, and I will make you fisher of men. And the rest of the other disciples. But we see Jesus not only interested in the crowd, but he's interested in the individual. And as we take our focus this morning back to the chapter 4 of John, we can see that that's what Jesus Christ is known as, the soul winner. There's a song that I learned when I was in college. It says, as we looked around us, all the fields are white, ripened unto harvest, and so quickly comes the night. Christians must get busy. There is work to do. There is an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying. Men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them. Help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. From the winning and the calling of the fisherman to the conversion of the believing thief on the cross, Jesus Christ's main mission was to seek and to save the lost. Consider the Samaritan woman, as I said, going back to John chapter 4. It says that in verse number 3, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. We see Jesus here walking, and everywhere he's walking, he's looking for lost souls. And his disciples were with him as they're in this university with training with the Lord to be fishers of men. The word must needs show that something is important, that Jesus must do this. It is not something that maybe I'll do it later, but it's something that has to be done. He must needs go through Samaria. And we all know that this Jewish and the Samaritans hate each other, especially the Jewish look down on the Samaritans because they are a mixed, they are people of mixed Jew and Gentiles. And they are hated, so hated by the Jews that they will not even walk through their land. But Jesus here must need go through Samaria because he saw that there was this lost soul in need of salvation. This lost woman whose lifestyle is so bad that she has to go to the well at the hottest part of the day to get water. Because when she goes in the morning or in the evening, the other ladies would gossip about her and talk down because of her way of life. Jesus was going to all these places and he went to where the sinners are. The Bible tells us the command was going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16 verse 15. And Jesus, when he sent out the disciples, the Bible said he sent them out two by two. And then when the church was persecuted, the Bible said they went everywhere preaching the gospel. When you're fishing, you don't sit and hope the fish will jump into the boat. You have to go where the fish are. I always say that Americans always like to talk about their fast food. Well, we have faster food in the island. We chase them with a spear in the water. But we have to go where the sinners are. I believe that there are too many of God's people are sitting too long on the pews of do nothing and singing, I shall not be moved. God help us to move out. Jesus was walking and he declares that he must needs to go through Samaria. I was talking about their prejudice or their hatred of the Samaritans. In the island, even where we live, there are many ethnic groups. And there are just a different group of people that are looked down to because of some character or physical flaws. And the people kind of ostracize them. They don't want to associate with them. But praise God, we have in our church many different nationalities. And that's how we planted the other six churches. We have these people go to their village and start a Bible study. And then our church, Calvary Baptist, started to help them. And eventually, we have a church planted in that village. So right now, we have altogether seven churches throughout Pohnpei. So I like to say that we have the seven churches of Micronesia Minor. But Jesus Christ came in Ephesians chapter 2 said that through his death, he broke down the wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentile. And the gospel is for all mankind. We thank God for the ministry of Peter, how he took the gospel to the Gentiles, to Cornelius and then the others that we read about. So the gospel is for all. And no matter where you are, you're going to see prejudice. But as Christians, we should be practicing the fact that the gospel is for all and we should treat all men the same. Express or show the love, demonstrate the love of Christ to them. I was on the island of Yap as a missionary, and this is the most primitive island. And as I was, our house church is right next to the emergency of the hospital. My wife was working as a nurse. So we have this girl who take care of our daughter. She would come from the village and kind of help, you know, in the kitchen and do things for my wife. And one time I was there studying, and a man wearing a thu. A thu is a loincloth. He's one of the low caste. And as he was coming up, I know he was going to ask for something. So I opened the door. I said, "Can I help you?" He said, "I want a drink of water." So I went and got a glass of water, and at that time this girl said, "You cannot do that. That's a low caste man. You cannot drink out of glass. You have to get a coconut shell or something, something like a tin cup or something, but not a glass." I said, "Ma'am, in my house, everybody is the same. Because all men are created equal in God's eyes. And he needs the gospel just as much as you do. And in this house, there's no high caste or low caste." And she just shook her head. Because they practice that. They're very strict on that. If you're born as a low caste, you're a low caste the rest of your life. And you cannot even if you're educated, they cannot give you a job, even though you're qualified. So I'm glad that Jesus is not affected by prejudice. Jesus came to save all men or seek and save the lost. So with that in mind, remember that you were lost once and someone cared enough for you that they will bring the gospel and share the gospel with you, reach you with the gospel. No person is beyond the reach of God's arm or grace, God's long arm of grace. The verses that we read at the beginning of the verse, I just want to again bring to our attention Romans chapter 10. "For whosoever shall call on him shall not be ashamed," verse 11. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever," I'm so glad this verse is in the Bible, or this word, "whosoever." That doesn't matter who, no matter who, where you're from, what class of people, high or low, or what nationality, "whosoever may come and take up the water freely. Whosoever may come may take up the bread of life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then verse 17 says, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A lot of people depend on feeling, and they're preaching that you have to have a certain kind of feeling to really be saved. But my friend, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The preaching of the word of God is, and the reception of the Son of God is what saves, not any feeling.